This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and here are today's topics. Late drama at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as Harry Kane's goal is called offside. Chelsea advanced the knockout rounds thanks to a stunner by Kai Havertz. Man City draw again in the Champions League as Haaland is pulled off at half-time. Liverpool get back to winning ways against Ajax as they qualify for the knockout rounds. And Unai Emery returns to the Premier League as Aston Villa head coach. All that and more in today's episode.
Let's not forget, my friend, we've got Premier League Pick'em and your chance to win $50,000. Play Premier League Pick'em for free and you can become the next big winner. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app today, available in the App Store or Google Play Store. First of all, my friend, let me say welcome back to the podcast. I know you had a little weekend off, well-earned weekend, but I had Mr. Tim Howard in. It's great to get Tim on, and it's just nice sometimes to have discussions going in different directions. But we're back, mate. It's midweek. Mm. It's Champions League. It was quite dramatic. It was quite successful, you'd have to say, for the English clubs in the competition. Let's start off at Tottenham Hotspur because they've still got work to do. A 1-1 draw against Sporting Lisbon at home. 1-0 down in the game, Robert. Seems to be the way for Spurs now a little bit. Came back second half, got the goal. We'll feel a little unlucky that goal was ruled out for Harry Kane. We'll talk about that later in the show. But somebody, again, as you're watching games, sometimes you try to keep a little bit on social media, Rob, and a little bit on radio, and just try and get a sense of what Spurs fans are saying in that. And as the game was going on at 1-0, some of the Spurs fans were sort of saying, well, we can't keep expecting to not play well and win games. Mm. And there is something about Spurs, certainly the start of games, they were better setting up, but start of games where they almost, Rob, like, give the incentive to the other team.
Yeah, I think this wasn't as bad as some of the games, Rob. I totally agree where they're super kind of cautious and defensive. I thought they did try and get on the front foot. They did try and take the game to Sporting. I just thought they weren't very good at doing it. Stodgy. Yeah. A word trying to describe when you watch them play, they're really rigid. They're really rigid. And it does come from the manager that wants them to be in good spots defensively. We know it's going to be three at the back with the two holding players. That's five players kind of set behind the ball pretty much when they're trying to build up. I mean, of course, they had a couple of players out. Kulusevski and Richarlison, Rob, were out injured. So Lucas Moura came in to make a front three. Bentancur and Højbjerg again in the centre. I like to see Matt Doherty on the right-hand side. I think he's probably the better option in terms of creating something from the right. And Perisic, that's disappointed me a little bit in general, Rob. I did think he was going to have a bigger impact coming into this team. But again, I think we sometimes forget the quality step up of the Premier League now, Rob, in terms of European leagues and players that are really, really great and do a great job. It's a higher level. And sometimes that doesn't kind of switch over to the league. But I mean, the second half was better, much more energy, much more effort. The 1-0 down from Edwards, wasn't it? Marcus Edwards.
There's a great story there, Rob, as well, wasn't it? Because he played well in the game at Sporting. Yeah. And could have scored a wonder goal. Because I, again, just do a little bit of research, have a look at him. He's a kid who'd come through the academy, 17 years of age. I'll quote, he was the mini Messi that Pochettino called him. Wonderful left foot. Interesting enough, and this was, again, an extract from, I think, Pochettino's book, where he talked about Edwards and just said, he's got a bit of a lack of discipline, and his timekeeping's not good, Rob. And those, you know, as a pro, you know, sometimes it's not just about your football ability. You've got to do those other things well. He ended up leaving the football club, I think, around 2019. He was let go, went to Portugal, and has got his career back on track. So again, scored a beautifully crafted goal today. And there is talk, Rob, about a possible England spot for him, which would be a bit of a push, I think, at this stage. But certainly, it's interesting. A young man who was, you know, brought up in an academy in London decides to go abroad, and then he's got his career back on track. And now these supposedly English clubs looking at him, a bit like the Bellinghams, a bit like Sancho's, have done, gone away. And sometimes maybe out of the spotlight, Rob, in a different environment, can come again.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think some will, some won't. I think, you know, again, that jump from, you know, a different league into Premier League is a difficult jump. I think there's a certain amount of physicality that you do need in the Premier League. And I'm not saying that he won't make it because of that, but I think that will be a factor going into it. But no, I think I read he made one senior appearance for Tottenham. Robert, he might have played once for them, maybe, you know, not many if he did at all. But no, he looks silky, isn't he? You can just tell he's a silky player. He's got a lovely way about him. He, you know, and took the goal really well. I mean, do you think I'm looking at Hugo Lloris there, Rob, and thinking, wow, that's come kind of a long way. It's gone along the ground, so you know, a certain amount of pace taken off the ball, I'd say. Will you expect Lloris to get across there and make that save? Because I would.
I'm at the stage, Rob. Maybe first, you know, big controversial statement. Hugo Lloris, mate, it's time. If Tottenham are going to be ambitious to where they want to get to, we've seen it with other teams. We saw with Liverpool when they... And Hugo Lloris has been a wonderful servant. Mm. World Cup winner, captain of football. All that I know, and I'm not ashamed. We see too many of these, Rob, where I'm scratching my head. I'm going, I don't know how that's gone in. Oh, should that one? And because he's been a great team, because he's been a great player, because he's been a World Cup winner, it makes it more difficult to say. But Spurs need to be in the market of finding their Ramsdale, whether it's Henderson, Nick Pope's gone in at Newcastle. They need to go and find their goalkeeper who's going to be right for the next 5 to 10 years, Rob. Because Hugo Lloris is making too many now of these. We saw the one against Callum Wilson at the weekend. It was a poor decision that cost his team the first goal. So I thought today that shot, when that shot leaves his foot, Rob, I'm not thinking, oh, that's going in. Mm. I'm thinking if Edison, if Alisson, if Pickford, if Ramsdale, I would think they would want to get there.
There was one as well where he ran off his line, didn't he? Remember, he ran to the corner.
Yeah, ran out. Yeah,
he had to sprint. I mean, he makes some brilliant, brilliant saves, Rob. So it's a balance there, isn't it? I know what you mean. No, I don't disagree, you know, at some point. And Antonio Conte's talked about, you know, needs a few more windows to change things. Maybe he's one of them. Maybe midfielders as well. I've got to say, it was a good header from Rodrigo Bentancur for the set piece. What a good leap it was. And you know, when there was talk about checking for VAR for a foul on the goalkeeper, I'm like, well, no. There was
he hung up there, didn't he? And he left. He's a good athlete, isn't he? He's a better athlete than I thought, actually. He's around the pitch a little bit better than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, second half Spurs was good. Yeah. You know, the stadium's rocking. The energy is there. Of course, they're 1-0 down to Edwards' goal, whatever. And that's what I'm pretty sure that Spurs fans want to see from the start. Now, there's got to be a reason for that. And Antonio Conte is just a little bit cautious at the start. But it doesn't always pan out. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of nil-nils and games often open up for Spurs where they end up winning and scoring goals. They're third place in the Premier League. It's not been bad. But it was kind of like another example of like first half, second half, very, very different. It's almost like when there's a little bit of desperation, they need to score, then they throw more at it. There's more energy. Maybe when the midfield players get into the box a little bit more. And it was a really good header. I mean, the pressure at the end, Rob, and, you know, Sporting will kick themselves because of that energy and because of that impetus that Spurs needed to play with. They left themselves wide open a couple of times and Sporting should have scored again.
Oh, he's come up with a decent save later on. There was one that he made a decent save. They had a couple of good chances that they didn't put away. And then we get to the Harry Kane moment, mate. You know, where Spurs do put a bit of pressure, manage to keep the ball alive, get it in the box. It comes to Royale, who heads it back across. I mean, at first, you know, the place goes crazy, great scenes, you know, players running on, fans going mad, Conte doing his stuff. I mean, those are the scenes, Rob, that make Champions League, don't they? Those are the scenes. Those are like the Pochettino at Man City and the Ajax. And, you know, those are all those scenes at Liverpool that you remember.
Yeah.
Again, we have to go to VAR and we're talking about millimetres in terms of whether he was offside from the original header from Royal, if we're taking it off the ball, is it because it's deflected off a defender and gone in. I mean, we're talking about millimetres based on where you're taking the measurement off the ball, off the left side, off the right side, off the middle of the ball, where are we taking... I mean, Rob, when it's so close, when it takes nearly 4 minutes to decide, shouldn't that just be a goal?
Well,
and I'm not saying it because it's Spurs and you know, maybe it's Sporting the other way. Oh, does it? And I know people will say, well, it's either on or off,
but it's
taken 4 minutes and we don't know where that line's been drawn from.
Yeah, that's right, Robert. First off, I think there's a few things to say here. First off, is a semi-automatic offside system in place for the Champions League. So it's a better, you know, system of seeing who there's a graphic. I don't think we get to see it on the broadcast, Rob, but you've seen it. There's a little graphic.
And
it looks better, right? Now, in this particular instance, again, there's a little bit of confusion sometimes with the rules here. The header from Royal did go backwards initially. That doesn't matter. It's just the ball is touched. He could volley that back towards his own goal or whatever. It doesn't matter the direction of the ball. It's just when the ball is touched. And then it does deflect off a defender. And then, you know, you could sort of say, well, does he reset the offside? Well, it wasn't a deliberate play on the ball. Again, another little nuance that's been tweaked, actually, at the start of this season. So that part was right. It really was down to whether Kane was level or behind the football. And I think it would probably be the front side of the ball. They'll take the measurement from. And the lines are ugly lines again with the big chunky blue and red lines, Rob. What I would say is to your frustration, now I'm exactly the same. I thought the same thing when you were talking. They should give it a little bit of margin for error. And there's got to be a point when that margin for error is questioned, but it just looks a bit better. If you look at it and say, oh, I think he looks offside there. And there's like, I don't know, four inches of leeway.
Some kind of gap, some kind of depth, definitive spacing. Yeah.
So when it's called and you're like, God, that's tight. Actually, you can kind of see it. You can kind of see it is, and the VAR backs it up. Instead of this millimetre on and off, which I don't think we need to get forensic with it, Rob. And that's where maybe, I mean, everything in VAR is going to get tweaked and get changed a little bit. I'd love to see that come in. So when you kind of look at it, the naked eye, that one, see, wouldn't have been off. Just naked
it's a great point. Concert. But then some people are going to say, well, what's that margin and how, you know.
Yeah, well, everyone's got to agree on the football's got to come up with something like, if it's 6 inches, that's probably too much. You know, it's got to look offside, Robin, it to the naked eye. And then it didn't feel quite so scandalously awful. I mean, this is one of the other reasons VAR is so frustrating, because of you said it, takes away a moment, a great moment in sport, in the game. Last kick of the ball.
I mean, Spurs fans are walking out of that ground now with a whole different, you know, it's a 1-1 draw. We still got work to do. Could have been a great moment. You know, that's the bit that worries me, Rob. We're taking a bit of joy out of the game. We're taking a bit of joy from the fans and from the broadcasters and the pundits and the analyses and everybody who's watching. We're taking joy from it. That's not what VAR should be.
I just think that margin of error, Rob, is so important. It's so important. And maybe it's 6 inches. And players will try and play on that margin. But when they go over the 6-inch thing, you see it from the camera angle. It's like, oh, yeah, look, he's you know, he's offside there. You know, so that's something maybe that, I mean, you know, let the law right now as it is and the interpretations and this technology, it's offside, you know, given if we trust the lines and it's just frustrating for the game, for the sport and for the way that we're kind of transitioning into this video technology, getting involved with our game that we love. And it's like, oh, do we really want it? Do we need it? There's so much speculation and subjectivity in these decisions anyway, like just let them get on with it. Anyway, we don't want to open that can of worms. It just spoiled a moment. But I think technically, I think
go on, sorry, mate. Finish off your point.
No, just, and I think, you know, if there's Spurs fans out there listening that are confused, it was the right call with the ball, and Kane didn't quite keep himself behind the ball as it was touched by an opponent, and that's why, you know, he was offside.
Let's not forget, Antonio Conte got himself a red card in all the shoot after that, which would probably mean he won't be on the touchline next week. And they've got a important game now in Marseille, isn't it? Because they've still got work to do in a pretty tight group. You know, so disappointing for Spurs, disappointing end for Spurs. Bournemouth at the weekend, Marseille now next week. And obviously Conte's talked about the importance of getting to the knockout stages, the importance of what that might mean in terms of bringing a few more players into squad. Continues to go down that road, Rob, that he still feels he needs more quality, more players in this squad before they're ready to compete with the bigger teams.
Just one add from me, Rob, at the end of this one. And we talked about injuries to Richarlison and Kulusevski. I thought Brian Hill, who was the first substitute off the bench, I thought he looked lively. I thought he looked threatening and creative. And he looked like he played in the hole behind Kane and Heung-min Son. Kind of liked it. A little bit different in their midfield and a little bit of a creative presence. Now, you know, again, is he going to be physically and is he going to be able to consistently do it for Spurs? I don't know yet. I actually doubt it. But I just enjoyed the that type of player being in the game anyway for Spurs and was good and manoeuvred the ball and got away from players and was a nuisance to Sporting. So I just thought I'd give him a little mention. And also Dyer. Like, I mean, Eric Dyer, Rob, missed a couple of brilliant chances.
Yeah, good chances. Yeah, the free kick that was put in.
Yeah.
He got the touch on was, yeah.
Ended so, brilliant so, on nil. One
well, Sonny was a little bit disappointing as well, Rob. I know there's talk about Real Madrid and I don't know if he's much in that and where he sees his career and whatever, but I just thought he a little spot been missed since, you know, the three goals at last. He's not quite been himself this year.
I think he looks frustrated. He looked frustrated in this game a couple of times. You know, you think about it, Rob. He's being asked because of that role when there's three of them up there. He's got to come back and help. I mean, can you imagine like where he wants to be right near Kane in the attacking final third all the time, trying to create and score goals? And he's got to, you know, when they're on the passive Spurs, which happens a lot, they get behind the ball, they don't press high, and he's got to come all the way back into a kind of a left side midfield position. It probably does grate on him a little bit, you know.
But yeah, and especially when you're not getting the goals. It's not so bad when you're scoring and things, you know, you're going up and down and getting your goals and getting your chances, but when the goals haven't been coming, then you start to say, like, why am I so far deep? And you ask questions of yourself and the team and the position. So, yeah, listen, that Spurs under Conte, it's still being developed in terms of system and the way they're going to play. They've got to go to Marseille now and get something from that game if they want to get through to the quarterfinal.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Let's move it on to the second game this week. We'll go to Salzburg 1, Chelsea 2. Graham Potter continues to remain unbeaten, continues, I think, to address some of the criticisms about a Graham Potter style person going into a football club as big as Chelsea, what it would mean, how the players react. I think they're calling it Potter ball for now. Isn't doing too bad at the moment, my friend. It looks pretty good.
I think so. I mean, you know what's funny, Rob, right? And I don't know whether you've sort of, because we do, like you said earlier, we do kind of keep a finger on the pulse of comments and stuff and different sides of the pond and stuff like that. I'm sort of sensing in part of the media, still a little bit of disappointment with Potter, like a little bit of, with the game against Man United the weekend, like, you know, he still hasn't got it right yet and he's still got a lot to do. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what else he can do, Rob. I mean, they lost the first game in this competition. They're now through to the knockout stages. They lost the first game versus Zagreb under Thomas Tuchel. Great job from there. I mean, they're getting regularly scoring goals now. No, they didn't against Man United or whatever, but, you know, he's finding different ways. He's playing a more attacking Chelsea than we've ever seen under Thomas Tuchel. In this game, you had Christian Pulisic at right wing back. You had Raheem Sterling left wing back. Now, Raheem Sterling doesn't look thrilled to play there, Rob. But I think the reason he is there is because he's a goal scorer. And, you know, you can still have Aubameyang, Havertz and others in the central attacking positions, and you've got a score on the left. If you play Sterling as a central striker, one of those forwards, then you've not got a score so much on the left side. So I get that. And he has scored from that position, though he hasn't scored many. I think he's only got one in quite a while now. So that's something to watch. But, you know, you can't criticise Graham Potter when he's going to try and change things. He's gone into that club, you know, in not ideal circumstances and managed to very quickly find a decent team with more attacking options, with more attacking intent, as we said every single time we talk about Chelsea, because I see it every single game. And it's another good result. Kai Havertz, Rob, just when I'm making my notes, I'm like, Kai Havertz, kind of average, like, want him to do more, be more involved, be more. And then he smacks a ball in, you know, the top corner. And then like, oh, okay, yeah, that's, you know, it kind of changes, of course, our comments towards him. But I still think there's more from Kai Havertz, and I've been saying it for a while now. Good work from Christian Pulisic, Rob, wasn't it, to wiggle away, keep possession?
And listen, I think one of the things that he's done particularly well, Rob, is balance the playing time of people in the team. And I'm sure there's a few who wanted more, Pulisic certainly, but there's a few who would say, well, you know, I'm not maybe had as good a look as others. But generally, most players, Rob, in that group now have had a few good moments, have had a bit of a look. And, you know, it was interesting. Cucurella came off at the weekend, you know, early 30-odd minutes against United because he wanted to change the system. He plays him tonight. You know, he gets a start here. We've been having Pulisic get to start. Haven't started many games. Okay, it was in a right wing-back position and Sterling another. But they're not real authentic wing-backs in this system. They're allowed to get forward and, as you say, be an attacking threat, especially against a team like Salzburg, who are quite narrow, and there was a bit of space on those outsides. Conor Gallagher makes his first Champions League start, Rob, you know, who's somebody we've been seeing, who I think still brings something a little bit different. He's dynamic with his movement, he's incisive. I like the way that he plays from midfield. And the Havertz one's interesting, because I thought Havertz played reasonably well in the bits I saw. I thought his link-up play was good, he's clever, he's finishing. I kind of feel like Kai Havertz, we might start seeing the best versions of Kai Havertz under Potter because of the way he plays, because of the system, because of there's a little bit more rotation. And I think Havertz can grow into being really quite important for this Chelsea team and Graham Potter. I kind of like the mix. When I think of the Trossards and the Grosses and those kind of people, he knew how to get the most out of them. Now, Havertz another level and could be hitting 8 to 10 goals a season if we can get him right. I'm like you. I can't see many negatives about Graham Potter and what he's done at this football club. These people possibly wanting him to fail or wishing him to fail or waiting for him to fail so that he can say, well, it doesn't work. You can't take someone from there. I'll tell you what, Rob, he's held his own with the team. And his team looked pretty comfortable. They beat Milan twice. They're through the knockout stages, you know, in a Champions League that hadn't started well for them.
Yeah, and they have this lovely game control, possession with possession. And I also thought they did a really good job of high pressing, winning the ball back. I thought it was a nightmare for Salzburg to try and get out. They're playing at home. They want to try and get their football going. And Chelsea didn't allow them to do that, you know, through good pressure, good positions. You know, they don't, I guess with that pressing, Rob, they're stopping the attacks at source. And then defensively, you know, Pulisic hasn't got a run back. Sterling hasn't got a run back too much. And they just playing basically with three defenders who, you know, again, and I don't mind saying it every single show, Rob, Thiago Silva still amazes me. Well, I think he's 38, isn't he? 37, 38. He still amazes me how good he is on the ball, how he reads the game. He almost broke his... Seemingly, he flipped over and landed on his neck. So I thought he was excellent as well. There was missed chances in the first half that, you know, I think Aubameyang missed one early to make it 2-0. I still don't know whether Aubameyang, Rob's going to be...
He's doing a couple of looks that you would normally expect him or somebody of that calibre to put away. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think time will tell with that one, Rob. I don't think anything's going to happen, you know, maybe between now and the end of the season. Maybe come the end of the season, Jim may have a look at it.
Let me chuck one at you. I mean, it's a bit of a left field shout here, but I just got triggered by listening to the radio. Cristiano Ronaldo, Rob's going to want a new club. Yeah. Now, Chelsea didn't want him, but it was Thomas Tuchel in charge. I wonder what the ownership.
Yeah, I think the ownership wanted him. Yeah, the manager didn't.
I wonder what Graham Potter would feel about that. Yeah. I mean, it's not as though Aubameyang's a big presser of the ball. He's going to work his socks off and do that side of it. So I don't know whether that's a necessity.
Ronaldo brings
brilliant finishing.
The finishing, but also with the problems, Rob.
Yeah, I know.
As a fledgling manager at that level, going into a club like that, may you think it'd be interesting. Maybe he's got the confidence to say, you know what, in this group, yeah, I'll manage him and he'll be part of it, and he'll I'll get the best out of him. Or we might think, you know what, at this stage, it's not one that I want to bring in the dressing room, in terms of confrontation or any of that. But I sense with Graham Potter, he's confident enough in his ability, Rob. If he feels he can do it, this will help him as a team. It's not a bad shout for I don't know, even if it's 6 months for Ronaldo between now and the end of the summer, and then you reassess it then.
Yeah, I think there's an argument out there that Erik ten Hag has not handled Ronaldo very well, that any conversation maybe wasn't clear about him staying at the club, expecting to play. I don't know. I mean, that's a whole... We should do a podcast on that. You know, the whole Ronaldo thing with Ten Hag and promising game time. Him wanted to go. He ends up staying, but he's not playing him. You know, there's a lot of talk out there that Ten Hag hasn't handled that very well. And that's part of the reason why Ronaldo's thrown his flipping toys out the pram or whatever. But yeah, that's a conversation for another day. But just interesting, you know, interesting. But again, back onto Chelsea. Well done. Well done, Graham Potter. That's not an easy job to go into and be successful right away.
Champions League, his first time in a competition, is pretty good stuff for Graham Potter and the way he's managed his football club. Okay, my friend, I think it's time to move on to Dortmund Man City, which I don't think was a classic by any means. Probably with City through, Dortmund just needing a point. You tend to think that both sides were settled with the 0-0 draw. I got the sense it was one of those days where the City really needed to go there and get a win. It would have looked and felt, and we would have seen it a little bit different, but it wasn't. They were okay first off. Erling Haaland came off at half-time. I'm hearing he's got a bit of flu symptoms, Rob, so he wasn't feeling particularly well, although the number of touches, 13 touches in the first half, maybe meant he wasn't that involved as well. But yeah, I'm hearing he had some flu-like symptoms and he maybe had a knock on his knee, so they just said that precaution. They wanted to take him off the pitch. Bernardo Silva came on for him. Cancelo as well came off at half-time, but not having a particularly great time. And you know.
Yeah. Well, I, to be fair, I think there was a tactical side of it, Rob, that I saw. Yeah. First off, they started and rest. Yeah, Kevin De Bruyne was rested. Who else rested? Grealish, Edison, Stefan Ortega made his Manchester City debut.
Yeah.
So players were rested. And it kind of looked like a 4-4-2. Haaland with Alvarez up front. And it didn't look very good. And they didn't keep the ball very well. And it wasn't the normal City. And Dortmund, honestly, could have scored. I thought they could have scored two or three goals. And Pep was not happy. And then at halftime, the changes are made and system change. And this is where Pep's super smart. And this is why, you know, his little blueprints of different, his little flow chart of why this isn't happening, then we can do that and we do that. Changes it to three at the back. Stones goes from right back to kind of a central midfield role, Rob, alongside, I think it was alongside Rodri. And that allowed Gundogan to push on. And then you go back to this 3-2-5 because he's got those, you know, the two number eights running forward. He's still got his striker, which is Alvarez. He still had Foden and Mahrez. And all of a sudden, everything's different. City in total control, you know, bossing the game and not conceding the chances. So there may be a bit of the illness thing in Haaland, but there's got to be. I mean, you still want him out there, wouldn't you? But the system change, it's just something that he can do. He can just click his fingers, make a couple of changes, and it changes everything, and it worked great. So I thought that was, I mean, there wasn't a ton else interested in this game, given the situation in the group. Dortmund with a point, of course, go through, and they make the knockout stages as well. But that there's a kind of interesting bit for me that a system change kind of made a difference immediately, and Dortmund like just didn't have any ways to get through. So I thought Julian Alvarez, Rob, was very, very quiet, and I think everybody's excited about what he can do and what he's done. He's bright, but it ended up being alongside Alan, then up front on his own, very, very quiet. I mean, yeah, really didn't do a lot. Was touch on the ball, wasn't as good as you might expect it to be. Of course, Mahrez misses a penalty.
Yeah.
He ends up getting himself. So not a great day for him. And Pep's already said that he's going to have a little rest.
Yeah, which tells you everything. I mean, penalties for City, Rob. I think I did a little bit of research. 25 of 80. For a team with that quality, with so many good technical players, that's a big number. And, you know, Mahrez is one of those. And listen, we've all played in teams where Mahrez is one of those as a teammate. As he's running off, in my head, I'm thinking, I'm really fighting. You'd never let him know, but he's never somebody who I feel looks over super confident. You know, you get your case.
He's hit a few good ones, Rob. He's hit a few good ones.
Absolutely, and you know, those are the days you're pleased you wouldn't say anything. But in my head, he's not somebody who I would instantly go penalty, little bit practice. Let's get Riyad Mahrez on it. I don't know. He just doesn't. I've played with a few players, Rob, who were you know. Especially strikers or people who want to take penalties. And a few of them used to be like, you're standing on the edge of the box, always with your fingers crossed, like, didn't really fancy them before they took it. And if they missed it, they missed it. But I don't know. I just feel it just seems weird to me that so many, they've got so much technical ability in that team that they have. I mean, probably if Haaland's on, Haaland takes it. So that puts an end to it. But still so much quality around this team. And 25. Penalty misses out of 80 is a pretty big number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a final mention for a player that I think we've kind of hinted at before. Part of the subs, Rob, was Manuel Akanji. He came on again, and former Dortmund player. They bought him from Dortmund, I believe. I think he looks good. I think he looks really good. He came on at impact in the game, played on that right side of a back three at that point. He's decent.
He can play right back, he can play centre back. Yeah. And apparently Pep, when they played against him, it was his ability to play out from the back and pull from that Pep went, I like him, and he came up available for less than $20 million, I believe. And he's a pretty good bit of sneaky good business, you know, can fit in a number of positions. And, you know, I think he's suited also to the Premier League, the physicality of the Premier League, Rob, which isn't easy for defenders or forwards coming into the league. But the job done for City, 0-0 away at Dortmund, but they were only through. Dortmund getting themselves through with that point as well. So both teams, I think, pretty much happy. Not much more to say on that one, my friend.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Let's move it to the final game involving the English clubs. Ajax and Liverpool. It was a Liverpool team that just got beat by Forest, so not in great fettle. Going to Ajax. But got the job done in the end, Rob. I have to say, didn't particularly start that well in Ajax. With the noise from the stadium, with the intensity on the pitch, created one or two good looks. It hit the post in, I think, the first 5 minutes. The shot that hit Trent Alexander-Arnold that's blocked, which probably could and should have put them ahead in the game. Liverpool kind of hung in there, I thought, for a period. The system was a little bit different. With Mo Salah playing as a more central position. Nunez started more on the left, although I heard Jurgen Klopp talking after the game saying he didn't want a game isolated on that left-hand side. He wanted to get him into central areas where he could hurt. And in the end, Liverpool will be delighted with the results. Again, probably will want to play better in games, but it was an important win for them after, you know, a little bit of indifferent form over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I didn't look at all of this. I was looking at the Spurs game, and there's all sorts of craziness going on in different games, as well, the Champions League as well. The last kind of few minutes, I look at the offside of Spurs. I did see the goals, and Salah takes his goal really well. Also,
from Henderson, by the way, lovely little
outside, and good for Harvey Elliott, Rob. You know, chipping in because that's an important part of what he's got to do.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Nunez actually, Rob, he missed a sitter. They made a lovely just before half time. Actually, he missed an absolute sitter. Bobby Firmino put a lovely ball back across the 6-yard box on a plate, and he's with his left foot. It's one of those. You know, he's just got the wrong connection. He hits the outside of the post and the ball goes wide. And the look on Firmino's face, the camera goes, Firmino, like, I couldn't believe it. And it must have been a little bit one of those where it goes in at half-time, Nunez, and thinks, like, oh, it's not going to be one of those nights. But what I like about him, Rob, he's got a real hunger and effort outside. When he hasn't got the ball, I'm talking from a defensive point of view. He doesn't hunt down defenders well in that. And his appetite, and he gets him in some good spots. He ends up getting a good header from a set piece, ball in, and he powers away from defenders, gets his header. Then you start to see his confidence. And again, I'll say it again. I think he's going to be a really important player for Liverpool this year. I think, you know, just that energy and his goal threat and his pace off the back. And it was funny because I was thinking about Timo Werner, who was at Chelsea over the last couple of years. And the one thing with Timo Werner, you know, things didn't go right. But sometimes I just thought, like, you know, be a bit hungry, be a bit more desperate to show us, you know, you want to do it in this league. Nunez has got that desperation, as well as lots of ability in scoring goals and pace. It looks like it matters to him, Rob. And I think you always naturally feel a little bit more affinity with somebody who you can see it matters, and he shows it matters as well.
I mean, he's a young player. He's still a super young player. I mean, could you imagine, Rob, being in your early 20s, going to a club like Liverpool for a massive fee, not speaking the language, and like the pressures that gives you? I liked him. I've liked him from what we've seen in the Champions League in his previous club. He's sharp, runs in behind. He's going to get a lot of goals at Liverpool. I really believe that. I really like him. And I think, you know, God, nowadays, Rob, in English football particularly, everybody's expecting, like, whether it's managers or teams, promoted teams or new signings, God, everything's expected, like, instantly, immediately, like yesterday, like, and sometimes, it does take a little bit of time for certain individuals to settle in this blimmin' tough league. So, no, I'm not worried about him longer term. Of course, the team, you know, coming together again, it's still proving difficult, I guess. I mean, we know there's a couple of injuries at the team or whatever, but... Yeah. Yeah, but that's good, isn't it? I mean, Champions League victory is a Champions League victory. And, you know, important players scored goals. They go through as well. So, yeah, not bad.
Scoring again is important as well, you know, getting them on a run for the league games as well. I think they're home to Leeds at the weekend. So, that's, you know, a difficult game for them to get back on track and obviously close that gap before now in the World Cup break. Right, my friend, just a slight change of tact, just to move away from the Champions League. Should we do the Unai Emery piece, or should we go over the Champions League results first?
Let's finish off Champions League, Rob. Let's just finish off because we've got the scenarios. We've kind of got them, Rob. I mean the results. I mean, I'm sure people can go and check out. I guess ones that stand out: Benfica 4, Juventus 3. You know, Juve fans are probably distraught right now. I think they're kind of like eighth or something in Serie A. We know that pressures on Max Allegri, talk about not being able to afford to sack him. One of the highest paid managers around.
Zidane being ready to go back to football as well. And his name being linked to the job at Arsenal in the last 24 hours. So, yeah, not great for Juventus.
Yeah, Milan, you know, they're still in this, aren't they? AC Milan are still in it. They won 4-0 at Zagreb. Leipzig beat Real Madrid 3-2. You know, we can talk about teams, big clubs. We've just talked about Juve, Rob, that are out. There's other clubs we can add to that. Barcelona lost at home 3-0 to Bayern Munich today on the Wednesday, and they're out the competition. And Atletico Madrid missed a last second penalty, kind of one of these little freakish handballs that the videos kind of spot, a little flick off a finger or whatever. And they missed that, end up being 2-2. So I've kind of got the groups here, Rob, and I'll try and run through and maybe, you know, I think I'm kind of right. Group A is done. Napoli and Liverpool go through. You know, Napoli playing brilliant football right now.
Yeah, brilliant. You want to keep away from that.
Nobody wants
them. Yeah, nobody wants them.
Then Group B is Bruges and Porto are through. Atletico Madrid are out. kind of really, really surprising, really. You've got to say that. Bruges, I mean, fair play to Bruges. Group C was the group of death, and that was a proper group of death. Barcelona out, Bayern Munich and Inter Milan go through. D, Spurs group, like, ending up.
Grabs in it.
Pretty much day six for that. Yeah. That group's going to be great. Group E is Chelsea are through, then it's Milan or Salzburg, I believe, to get the final spot there. Group F, it's Real Madrid are through, and then it's Leipzig or Shakhtar. I think Shakhtar must win match day six. I think they win the head-to-head. So, again, good group to watch. Next week is the final match day six. Group G was Man City and Dortmund, and H, PSG and Benfica, with, of course, Juve going out. So I think that's kind of about right. That's usually, you know, the match day six, you want to watch games that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Not the dead rubbers. And it's interesting as well, Rob, because I think, you know, in England, you know, with English football, Premier League football, and now the quality of player and coach that's there, we still sort of take for granted, like, that the English clubs should get through to the knockout stages. And they've just seen these big clubs, Juventus, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona. Yeah. It's not a given, mate, is it? You know, and you know, we're three or four through already. Spurs got work to do, but you still think, you know, that they should give themselves a decent chance. And I just think sometimes, again, like I say, we take for granted the Champions League and the challenges and, you know, the English football. And obviously at the moment, it's like Premier League 2 days, 3 days later, Champions League, Premier League, Champions League. And you know, it's a lot for some squads to deal with. And maybe if the four squads that are in this competition, Spurs are probably the weak, and it's probably why they are still, you know, fighting to get through, while Chelsea, Liverpool and Man City are already through.
Yeah, and if no matter how big a club you are, Rob, you know, Barcelona and Juventus will tell you, if you're not going through a good moment, as they say now, then you're in danger, because the Champions League is tons of quality from different leagues. You know, they've all been playing well for the most part. But if you haven't got your stuff together, then you're going to struggle. And this season, you know, I don't know whether we've ever seen, you know, the size of clubs of these three get chucked out at this stage, have we? I mean, maybe we have. Maybe we have. But that's pretty big names there. They're not going to be there in the knockout stages.
One little mention as well, mate, and we have to do it because we're football lovers, but PSG didn't look pretty awesome. Neymar and Mbappe and little Messi. And like, you just still think, don't you? There could be one night in this group with those three that could still give them a chance. They could hurt a Man City, that could hurt a Liverpool or a Chelsea if they got them in the knockout stage.
Well, that's right. I mean, they're amazing to watch. And Lionel Messi, I mean, you know, I've watched a lot of him over the years, following La Liga, following their games, doing their games, commentary. And he's the best for me that I've ever seen, and I think he's ever played the game, Lionel Messi. And he's had some moments over recent seasons where he's looked a little off it. I mean, he scores a lovely goal the outside of his left foot. I mean, he's a wonderful player. I mean, I just got, you know... It's easy to think about what PSG could do, but we know there's another side to the game, Rob. There's another side of it. And those three don't really want to defend at all. And against some of the better teams in the knockout stages, I think they're probably going to fall short again. But my goodness, you know, what a front three that is to watch and enjoy. So much incredible talent.
Usually good to watch.
Yeah. Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Okay, mate, let's just before we wrap up, let's go to that change of tact. It's a new hiring in the Premier League. Steven Gerrard left within probably 48 hours or so. Unai Emery was installed, appointed as head coach now. Back to English football. I think they're just waiting for his work permit, so he won't be available this week. He's ready to go. I think it's Manchester United. They'll play him in the league and the League Cup, I believe, for two games for Emery. Pleased to see him back, Rob. At times, is his reputation in English football? I sometimes feel he didn't get the respect in English football that he should have done.
He didn't. He went into Arsenal following Arsene Wenger with a squad that we know what's happened since, Rob. That squad that wasn't together, that wasn't good enough, that was aging, that was difficult. What a difficult job position it was. The language barrier, you know, it's kind of poor in it when he gets a little bit ridiculed for him trying to speak in the native tongue, by the way, coming over from Spain and trying to. So that's well, whatever. I ignore that stuff. I think it's a brilliant move. I think it's a brilliant move. It also, first off, from his side of things, Rob, I mean, he's doing a really good job at Villarreal. Amazing job there. And yet, you know, and I think they're having a bit of a wobble a little bit in La Liga right now. Yeah, but in general, he's leaving them to come to a team that's right now bottom half team. But it's the attraction of the Premier League and Aston Villa. From Villa's side of things, I just think it's really good. I think he's a winner. I think he's done a great job everywhere. Yep, didn't really work out at Arsenal. PSG was hit and miss. We know the difficulties at that football club. So I think it's, I'm really happy to see him back because I don't think we got a real sense, even though I remember games where I'm watching like, God, what is he doing with his team? Yeah. There's so many spaces and gaps everywhere. But he's had too much success, Rob. He's been too good in certainly the Europa. Is it four Europa League he's won?
Yeah, four Europa League. Maybe the three, one with Villarreal, I believe, against United.
Do you know what as well, Rob? Like, is it a coincidence? I mean, of all the teams he's been at, Sevilla, Valencia, Villarreal, where he's done really well, is that his little sweet spot just underneath the big boys? And isn't Aston Villa just the same kind of size of club that kind of fits? Arsenal was one of those big ones, and PSG was of course, a real big one. But I think this is where he does his best work. He's happiest, maybe under the radar a little bit, and over-producing at teams that you wouldn't expect them to be. Well, they don't normally compete at the higher ends of the leagues. Certainly those three teams in, I think he did get close with Sevilla back in the day. But I think it's great. What are you thinking?
Yeah, and again, try to reach out, listen to a few radio things. I think the Aston Villa fans are really pleased with I wasn't so sure how they'd take it. But, you know, a lot of them have said, brilliant, you know, top class manager. He's a guy who can come in and get hold of this football club. You know, someone said, I heard one guy, and I don't know, Dan, just said, you know, it's our first high-caliber top-end manager since Martin O'Neill. It's incredible that's what I'm thinking. And listen, this guy's been in Europe if we get this. It's a club that's ambitious to get there. I think you just named it off the top of my head, getting all these things come out. He's managed at Sevilla, Villa, Villarreal, and now Aston Villa. So there's obviously a link to the Villas. And that's what's going to have Sandy Mingle instead. But no, listen, personality, he brings something to the Premier League. He's tactically really smart. I saw him working once, Robert, at he was at the LA Galaxy with Arsenal. They were over for their summer tour, and we had an open training session. I had a little word with him after the thing. And the thing that comes across, Rob, is his enthusiasm for football. Mm. He loves the game. He loved coaching. He loved the game. Yeah. He loved talking about tactics and. Mm. At the time, it wasn't the greatest Arsenal team he had, but you know, he did what he did. He had them organised. They had a set way of playing. I think everybody knows their roles in the team. Certainly seen that in some of his European teams. And I think it, you know, something to look forward to for Villa now, for between now and the end of the season. So glad they've done the business quickly. Glad he's back in the Premier League. And you know, let's see how Villa go and how the results go. I mean, they've just come off a 4-0 win at the weekend, which is all a bit weird. You know, at the moment Stevie goes out the door. So maybe there's a feel-good factor around the football club now that will help him.
Mm. And it's another winner into the Premier League, Rob. Another really, really high-level manager that's got back into the league. And, you know, Steven Gerrard, I think, will come again. He'll maybe have to drop down a league, possibly, probably, to kind of re-establish himself. But no, Unai Emery, I thought. And I understand from the club that is their number one choice. I know that a couple of others were kind of rumoured, and there was talk about Pochettino and a couple of others. But no, the club is saying it was their number one choice. They always wanted Unai Emery, and they got him. Had to pay some compensation, but they got him.
Yeah, Villa got their man. We'll see how things go for them in the Premier League between now and that World Cup break, and then we'll see if he gets a bit of a window to maybe change things around, do things his way. All right, mate, we're going to wrap it up there. Another dramatic week in the Champions League. Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool there through to the knockout stage. while Spurs, they thought they'd won it late, but VAR comes again to spoil things, so they've got to do work in Marseille next week. We'll be back on Sunday, October the 30th. We'll have a look back at match week 14, which sees Leeds, Liverpool host Leeds. Arsenal take on Nottingham Forest, and Manchester United face West Ham in the David Moyes derby, I think they call it now. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.